Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Lynn Chaney. She is a best-selling author of several books, including books for children. She formerly served as the head of the National Endowment for the Humanities and is the wife of former Vice President Dick Cheney. Lynn is out with a new book. It's called The Virginia Dynasty, Four Presidents and the Creation of the American Nation. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Lynn, I love this book because I love presidential history, and when you combine people who've served in that role, men who've served in that role, and can talk about where their lives intersect, it's always brilliant. You say the Virginia Dynasty, that's even a little deceptive, because can you describe the area that these four individuals were from in Virginia? It's not just the state of Virginia, it's a real tiny area.
It's a circle of a 60-mile radius just east of the Blue Ridge Mountains. So you're right, it's a special subset of Virginia, a special subset of a kind of backwater in those days. You know, the Europeans didn't think we amounted to much. So it's remarkable that this kind of genius came from that small place.
Was there something about the state of Virginia, and in particular that area, that stood out among the original colonies as far as the political idealism that came out of that area?
Yes. Well, first, it was education. If you were one of the elite, as these men were, you had the prospect of a very fine education, studying Enlightenment thought, studying the ideals that people hoped, had begun to think, that reason could help us use to promote human happiness, ideas like equality and justice and liberty and freedom. So these ideas were in the air, but in Virginia, you had a particularly good chance of going to school under someone who was well studied in the Enlightenment. So it was there was an opportunity there. They were all well educated in these ideas that were so important to changing the world, and then they had the opportunity to do it. You know, the revolution happened. Suddenly it was possible to create a new nation. It must have been a very thrilling thing to have a historic opportunity like that, and at the same time to be so well prepared for it.
And the four men that we're talking about, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and James Monroe, did their lives ever intersect as young men before they became anybody within the Revolution?
Let's see. I'm trying to think when they first met. Not really. It wasn't until they became of age, I'd say. They all entered government early. It was expected of young men to take part in serving his country, as they called Virginia, serving his country early. So by the time they were in their early 20s, they were certainly acquainted with one another.
How did the times affect, the era in which they lived, affect the ideals that they were taught with this Enlightenment education?
Well, the fact that the atmosphere was crackling with these ideas certainly meant that their education was different. The fact that there were other people, and, you know, I think this is part of the dynasty concept, there were other people close by, smart, inspired by ideas like you were, people with whom you could disagree sharply, and as often happens in disagreement, it becomes a source for new insights. People with whom you could work, people with whom you could quarrel. I think that all helped bring these ideas to a kind of what's the word I'm thinking of? You know, the point at which things really explode. Maybe explode is a good thing. A melting point. I don't know, but the ideas all came together, coalesced, and these four men were there.
How different was it, or how unique was it, the way that the American government came to be during the Revolution, as opposed to other governments that the origins, where, you know, so many of them were put together in real, I think you use the term, gloomy age of ignorance and superstition. How much different was that for, and revolutionary was it for America at the time?
It was everything. The thought of what was being created in Philadelphia. It was something new under the sun. People didn't go around founding governments based on the people, based on the ideas of liberty and equality. And so this was, you know, a unique opportunity that, as I say, must have been thrilling to have had. The French, of course, it took liberty, equality as their ideals in their revolution. And it just didn't work out as well for them. I think their citizens probably weren't as well prepared as ours in the principles of self-government, for example. So what we did was unique. It was the first time people had tried such a thing, been inspired to try such a thing. And aren't we lucky that that these four men and the other founders made that leap.
You credit, well, maybe not credit's the right word, you at least make the observation that it was at least somewhat of a result of these four men that political parties and these types of factions that, even continue today, came to rise. And so can you explain how that came to be in an era when you think everybody's on the same page as far as starting the new government?
Well, in fact, they all hated the idea of faction, of parties. They weren't going to have a country like that. Until the country got started, and Washington was going down a path towards strong central power, encouraged in his thinking, Washington was by Hamilton. The other three looked at that, Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe, and said, gosh, you know, that's not what we were thinking. We didn't want to reestablish the strong king-like figure at the center. We just had a revolution against that. And it was particularly troubling to them that George Washington had this idea that the people should elect their leaders. But once they had done it, once they had chosen a president, for example, they ought to leave that person alone to do his governing and just not bother him until the next election. Well, wisely, Madison, Jefferson, and Monroe objected. And the result of their objection was the first political party. It was called the Democratic Republican Party. And those who were on Washington's side of the disagreement were called Federalists. So this is the development of political parties. The founders saw how useful these things that they thought they hated could be.
But the difference being, as we think of political parties today, these were political parties within the government as opposed to, you know, an RNC or a DNC that we have today running it from outside the government, right?
You know, I think it's even hard to talk about who ran political parties in those days. They were loose formulations, I think looser maybe than ours are today. But they were in the government and out of the government. Monroe wasn't in the government part of that time. I'm trying to think. Madison was. Jefferson helped Madison to found the first political party while he was John Adams' vice president, which is not very nice of him. John Adams was a Federalist, and Jefferson serving as his Secretary of State. As his vice president, plotted with Madison to establish a counterparty.
I'm chatting with Lynn Cheney about her brand new book, The Virginia Dynasty, Four Presidents and the Creation of the American Nation. The book is available wherever your fine books are sold. Lynn, you could write about so many things. You've had such a vast experience in your life, and yet you've chosen to focus on history, and a lot of your books are geared toward young people. What drives your passion for making these books available for not only for the general public, but for young people as well?
You know, we were talking at the beginning about having these ideas at the basis of our country, liberty, equality, those ideas, those ideals. And I think I've heard great speakers and I've read about great speakers saying that, you know, that's how our nation is built. It wasn't built on a creed. It wasn't built on, you know, people of a certain color of skin, people of a certain religion. It was based on these great ideas. And what I worry is that children aren't learning about those great ideas. that their school books don't pay enough emphasis to them, and that really a lot of the responsibility is left to children's, to their parents, to their grandparents, for this kind of education. And so I hope that these children's books will be a way for parents, grandparents, to sit with youngsters and read and talk and learn about the great inspiring stories that were at the beginning of our country.
You've served in government. You've been near it your entire life. You now have a daughter in Congress, and you know you served at the highest. I mean, you're next to the Vice President of the United States. You're married to him. It takes a heck of a backbone for somebody to be part of that family to look at the constant barrage of criticism that you would get. Was that something that anybody could have prepared you for when Vice President Cheney took over and you became part of that team?
Oh, I don't think anybody or anything prepares you for it. Maybe experience does, and we kind of eased into it. Dick was an intern in a state legislature, to a state legislator. He served with him as an assistant to a member of Congress. So he gradually, and our whole family gradually moved up where, and I think for every step you take up, criticism increases. So maybe you, I don't know, is this the frog in the boiling pot of water? You know,
sure.
He doesn't know he's being boiled because the temperature increased just a little bit at a time. But I think maybe it is like that. You get used to it a little bit at a time. I don't know if you ever get used to it. It's still possible to be hurt badly by it. But you know, you develop a thick skin too. And I think the Cheney family, in its closeness, has helped us to weather those storms.
I've talked to authors over the years, and I know that there was a large gap as far as the number of people in Congress who've even studied founding documents, founding fathers, and those types of things. Are you finding that as you do research and as you talk to people? I'm sure you're still in touch with people in Washington, that there's not only with children, but with even people that serve in the government today, there's a lack of understanding of our founding fathers and what occurred back then to even get this government going.
Well, I also know members of Congress who are very well read. I sat down at a lunch, maybe it was a year or so ago, next to Senator Blunt from Missouri, and I had no idea. He was deeply interested in the founding period and deeply knowledgeable about it. And there are so many others. But, of course, it's also true that, like in the general public as a whole, in the generality of people who serve in Congress, there are some who just haven't found an interest in history. I don't think one can be too interested in history. I would just encourage historical reading. You need to find good books to point to. You know, once someone picks up a book that really captures his or her imagination, that they gradually become lovers of history.
And I know that you do stay in the Washington area, and with the pandemic and shutdown, for somebody like you that likes to do historical research, is that difficult to do at home?
You know, the Internet, for all the bad things I say about the social effects on our society, I say about television and the social media and so on, when you get online, you can find almost any resource you want. The entire body of papers of Washington, Jefferson, and Madison are now online. The papers of Monroe have been fully published, so you know you have to order away for a book. But it is just astonishing that so much is online. I'm also still dependent on the Library of Congress, and I will call up and try to get a book every once in a while. But really, I don't think I could do the kind of research I do if there hadn't been this transformation in communication.
Well, it's just a fascinating book that you put together here. I absolutely loved reading it. The book is The Virginia Dynasty, Four Presidents and the Creation of the American Nation by Lynn Cheney. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Lynn, a fantastic offering, and thank you for joining us today to talk about it.
Well, it was a real pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Leave for